Hi there, everyone. It's James here with I'm sitting here with Mark, and this is the It's Your Move podcast, and we are going to be talking about the second sermon in the series, My Brother's Keeper. Sitting here with Mark, we're talking about the second lesson which he gave this past Sunday. So welcome.
Hi, everybody. Looking forward to answering the questions.
Alrighty. So, well, Mark, just to kick us off, the title of the sermon, or the theme of the sermon, was growing up again, and you obviously made a number of references to children growing up and parallels to us. Maybe you can kind of just give a brief kind of recap of that idea behind the idea of growing up here.
Yes, I've always found it fascinating that there's so many references to starting off as an infant, the second birth reference that Jesus had, and when we combine that with this kind of core scripture that we're talking about, am I my brother's keeper? Mm. It helps us to relook at who we are as a Christian, where we're at as a Christian, where did we start off as a Christian? And I think, when we look at children growing up and just how they explore just their surroundings, how they react to the input and stimulus that is given them through either the environment, they touch something or the dog barks or mommy or daddy say something. And we find that at that level of growing up, it is very reactive. It's this happens and I'm interested in that, and that happens and I react immediately to that, and I don't like this food and I do like that food, and that kind of thing, then we recognize, it helps us further understand the reference to the second birth that Jesus has when he in John, when he's speaking to Nicodemus. And it's something worth pondering on, because it means that as Christians, as we really go through that second birth, we then compare ourselves again to little children. And that's a fascinating concept, because oftentimes we think, now we're Christians and now we're okay. And yet nothing is further from the truth, because somewhere along the line, we still react to our environments. We still react to the way people speak to us, or we still react to the way life treats us, be it health-wise or financially. And yet we are called to grow and stop reacting in certain ways, because reacting, let's say, for example, like in anger to something, or let's say in self-pity to something, actually is not the way that we are called to in the scriptures. I find it important that we're able to recognize that within ourselves. And I think what's important under the umbrella of my brother's keeper is that I'm able to hear my brother say to me, or my sister say to me, Mark, here's the thing, under these circumstances you react in this way, and it's like a child would react under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't say that, but it may very well be. Mm-hmm. And I need to now move back to the scriptures and see what does maturity look like. Mm-hmm. And I think that process from child to maturity is what we're talking about here.
For sure. So I mean, there's this kind of this idea, this picture painted of infants moving on to maturity, moving away from milk onto solid food. And yet I think most of us would recognize, either in ourselves or in the people around us, that just getting older doesn't necessarily lead to spiritual maturity. So you could have someone who's older as a person, someone who's maybe even been around the church, they were baptized many years ago, and yet there's certain elements of what you describe now, that's kind of very much driven by their feelings, maybe very reactive to various scenarios. What do you think happened? What happens that you can be around the church for a long time and yet still be in many ways so driven by your feelings as opposed to being driven by the spirit or driven by the word of God or a spiritual maturity, convictions of spiritual maturity. What do you think happens or doesn't happen?
It's a good question. At the end of the day, I think human nature—I hate to use the word trumps—but human nature is fighting to gain the upper hand, and oftentimes we don't recognize that. For example, as I get older, and my human nature is possibly to settle very much into a certain way of life, where I stop comparing what I am to God's word. The way I do things, in my mind, I've settled that this is the right way. I've been a Christian now over 25 years, and in my mind, I'm kind of like, well, my way is pretty much the way. And this human nature of getting used to where I'm at and settling into it and not really wanting to move away from it is what I constantly have to fight against. And it's almost, I would say, every single person, church and outside the church is prone to this kind of process. And again, it's an aware, it's a situation of being self-aware of this. And I think, as a church, we've had many sermons where we're asked to look at ourselves. Even the Bible calls us to look at ourselves and compare it to the Word of God. And I think, what we often use as an excuse is, oh, my temperament is this, or my character is that, or my background is here, and we find we have reasons to explain why we're where we're currently at. But at the end of the day, it's like an analogy of the beanbag and the mortar and pestle. That stone base is wherever we're at, we really do have to stuff it into God's word and operate from outside of that. And I think that ability to be able to read God's word, look at where I'm at, and be able to let God's word trump in my life in every situation, that's the ideal model that I'd like to head towards.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, yeah, maybe just to add that, I do think that there's a need to, if there's a problem, let's just say there's a chronic independence problem. Maybe there's some chronic walls that you've, as a disciple, have built up to various topics or various themes, or opening yourself up to different things, or there's a certain reoccurring sin. I do think that and that sin, whatever it is, whether it's in your character or something that's going on in your life, is in many ways holding you back from maturing. I think two things. I think the one is you need to develop deep convictions on that. I think it's very easy to become comfortable with your core sins now because you've lived with them for so long. And I think without a deep conviction that this is hurting God, this is hurting you, it's hurting the people around you, and there needs to be a real change of heart towards it. I think the second one is that one needs to question whether you have been willing to hand yourself over to a keeper. And it can sound weird, especially if there's a lot of independence in your life. But this doesn't mean someone to be your boss, doesn't mean someone to control you, tell you what to do. If that's your view of one another relationships, then you're the one that's got a twisted view, because that's certainly not the goal, and certainly not my experience, and I think not most of our experiences. But it's to hand yourself over to someone who either is many years more mature than you, that can really mentor you and train you. Often our one another relationships are peer relationships where it might be accountability, but just to be willing to hand yourself over and say, I'm not able to change this on my own. Please help me. Get together with me. If it's chronic every week, if it's something that's a real long-term project, ask me every 2 weeks, When we get together for discipling time, how's it going with this? How's it going? How's it going with your pride? How's it going with your independence? How's it going with studying out selfishness? How's it going with studying out and being willing to do that? And I think that a lot of maturity has been missed. If you look at a period of 5 years, if you're getting together with someone every 2 weeks to discuss your spiritual life, you know, you're talking about over 5 years, literally hundreds of get-togethers to mature yourself. If you deny yourself that, if you're getting together with someone once every 2 months, 3 months, just to have a chat, and it's not even that spiritual, the reality is that the immaturity is going to persist. And so, yeah, it's just something to consider as you consider your own view towards accountability, prayer partners, discipling, whatever you want to call it. It's handing yourself over to someone to help you and to be your partner and to walk with you as you work through these things.
Yeah, I think that's critical. You know, we mentioned on Sunday just the last bit of the four soils that Jesus was explaining to his disciples. And again, you know, he talks about the third soil and say, you know, you're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. And those, unfortunately, in this day and age, we're full of that. And I think it's impossible for someone to be able to keep a perfectly clear spiritual or Christian head in the midst of the day-to-day worries that we go through.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, you know, it's vital that we have these relationships and we have people in our lives. You know, we in the Bible we look at all the each other and scriptures and there are literally dozens. I think we counted over 60, and they range from, you know, some really strong talks to helping and loving and guiding, and I think there is no other Christian path but through relationships.
Mm.
And again, it's those relationships that we want to use to influence others who are not used to them. You know, there's just no way we can do this on our own. I cannot see myself, and I need, you know, my brother and sister to be in my life regularly to see me for who I really am. And I think the other word is, you know, we often say, you know, I've had a great quiet time, and I think, you know, I say that, people say that, and yet when we look at our lives, the lives don't necessarily reflect that quiet time. And I think, you know, if we look at the good soil that Jesus was explaining in Luke 8 verse 15, you know, he says the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Amen. That's what we'd all like to have and think we have. But then he explains what that looks like. He says, those who hear the word retain it and by persevering produce a crop. And I think that's where we can fall short. You know, we hear the word, we read it in the morning, but we don't retain it because we think just having read the word is kind of the end of the story. And we certainly don't get to the third part. You know, we don't persevere and produce a crop. And a crop, I think, is what's critical. And the crop is what a crop only comes when you're mature. You know, immature, there's no crop when you're immature. There's only a crop when you're mature. And I think that's the goal that we're heading towards.
Mm.
And we need others in our lives to help us get to that goal.
Mm.
You know, we do, let's say, we look at some simple things. You know, I'm not kind to my wife or my children or patient, and I get angry and this, that, and this, that. And sometimes I can justify all those things away. And yet those are immature reactions, you know, being angry or being unkind or being impatient, because those are the way children react. And so this whole process of maturity, I think, is impossible without the help of outsiders and without a solid grounding and retaining of God's word.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Mark. No, I appreciate that. And maybe just a last word from me. I think, you know, one of my encouragements is to those who tend not to see themselves as very emotional. I think you can easily have a blind spot. I think people who are not very emotional, they see people who are emotional and they're like, oh, that person isn't in control of their feelings. The reality is, you know, we have got a nature and some of us are wired to be more emotional than others. And that's in so many ways is a gift. It does need to be contained in God's word, but it is a gift to feel things strongly.
So I guess in whatever way your feelings manifest themselves, so like me, whether it be a manifesting itself in the form of laziness and giving into selfishness, whether your feelings expose themselves in a slightly more animated ways and in being confrontational and having kind of spikes of emotion and spikes of negativity, however the feelings manifest themselves, I guess the point is maturity lends itself towards putting God's word at the center of your life, filtering your feelings through God's word. And it's okay to feel emotional, and it's okay to have those temptations. In the Bible, Paul, or I think it's James, writes about, in your anger do not sin. So anger is kind of normal in a lot of scenarios, but the maturity is in not letting that allow sin in, not allowing that to put barriers between you and other people and create division and create create unhappiness, and to keep pushing to have a pure and a sincere heart and a heart that's growing and maturing.
Amen.
So, Mark, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it. Appreciate the sermon on Sunday, and look forward to the rest of the series. Amen.